If there's healing that needs to take place in your body, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're struggling in addiction of any kind, in any way, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I believe God is meeting people all over the building right where they're at. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you said in your word that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And so, God, right now, I just welcome and invite the Holy Spirit into this service, Lord, to have your way. God, for every person, and they are full of infirmity in their body, I ask that you'd heal them, God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I speak to depression and anxiety in this place right now. I bind it up, and I just lose peace and comfort all over the place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And I need some volunteers. Frank, I want you to get this side over here, these two rows. Brian, get these two rows. Every person, including children, need a cup. I love to give people an illustration because that helps people to understand things better. Some people are visual learners, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have something that we can visually see. And it is a wonderful, wonderful service. While they are delivering those cups, if anyone has a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to put that cell phone on vibrate or silent mode, whatever you're comfortable with. And I'm going to invite you to be fully present in this service. Now, what does that mean? Fully present means that I've got your full attention, that God has the full capability to come in and to speak with you this morning. Now, he's not going to be able to do that if you're concentrated on what you left in the crock pot and whether you turn that thing on or not. At this point, oh well. Amen. I'm trying to fill the congregation out. Are y'all in a good mood or a bad mood this morning? We good? Who's tired in here? All right. I get it. Well, I slept pretty good. God is so good. Go with me to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 5. Psalms chapter 16, verse 5, and I'm going to give you a moment to turn there in your Bible. It's important that you bring your Bible to church. It's important that you read along, because there's things in life that they're not going to be just handed for you. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to get them. Right. Amen. We live in a very gimme, gimme, gimme society. There's some things that you're going to just have to take it. It belongs to you, but God says take it. Psalms chapter 16, verse 5. And it says here, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. Now, I want to tell you all this morning that you are on assignment. It does not matter how old that you are, how young that you are. I believe that our volunteers on Wednesday, the oldest volunteer that we have is 95 years old. And then we have Archie, who is 90. And we have Paul, who is 91. And so, it doesn't matter how old or how young that you are on assignment, and the Bible says so. My translation says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. Now, how many of you, this was back in the day where parents, we didn't cater to our children so much, but now we cater to them and we're not better for that. But how many of you, when you were growing up, your mama or whoever raised you, they would make you eat vegetables? Raise your hand. All right. Well, me too. Me too. And I hate vegetables. I don't like them. Don't like them now. Didn't like them then. But my mama made sure I ate them. And it was good for me. So the word says that you have assigned me my portion. Now, when I was growing up, my mom used the same spoon for dinner, and she would have the same spoon, Tom, in the bowl of whatever vegetables that she was going to make me eat that day. And she tried to have a vegetable every meal that we had. And so, sweetie, do me a favor. Move all these pretty decorations out. Get me that table right here, because I want people to be able to see what the Word of God is talking about. And I want to tell you this morning that one of the worst things that you can ever do is compare yourself and your calling to somebody else. You're going to always come up losing when you do that, because you're never going to be good enough, pretty enough, called enough, talented enough, anointed enough. When you're looking at other people and you're wishing that you were them, you're stuck right there in that place. And so the Word says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. Now, what I've got here are some bowls. And if you ever are with us volunteering on our Monday during our food distribution, and go get me some water, enough water to fill this cup. I could have told him this before the church started, but then that wouldn't be that much fun. We're going to play a game. How many times can we get Frank to get up and down in the service? Frank is the most precious person. He would do anything I asked him within reason, and some of what I ask him without good reason. But see, the Word says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. So on Monday, Paul's been doing this for us for about the past 3 weeks. We'll have a vegetable. We'll have something. And Paul will say, give me something to do. Now, he's 91 years old, and he wants something to do. I want you to want something to do for the rest of your life. Don't sit idle. Don't sit like you ain't got nothing to offer God. You have something to offer God, and it don't matter how old you are, how young you are, how broke that you are, how broken that you are, how messed up that you are. You have something to offer to God, and God wants it. God wants all of you, the messed up parts and all. And so in the Word, it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. Now here, this person over here, they may get a tablespoon. We're going to give this one over here that. Now this person over here, God may be able to trust them with this much. We're going to give them that. Now this person over here, God may say, okay, their portion in their life is going to be big, and I'm going to give them this right here. So see, all of these people represented here, they have the portion that they were assigned. You have your life, and you have your calling, and you're on assignment. Ain't nobody going to take care of this but you. You best own it. You best do it like God sent you there to do it. You're all on assignment. So the Word says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. And my cup. Everybody hold your cup up. All right. We all got our cup. So God has assigned us our portion. And he has given us our cup. Now, the Word of God talks about cups quite often. So today we're going to talk about your cup. I want you to take this cup home. I want you to put it somewhere this week where you're going to look at it, and it's going to make you think about your life. Because unless you live out this sermon, coming to church won't do you any good. I'm going to say that one more time. Unless you live this sermon out, church ain't going to do you any good. Because just coming to church does not get you into heaven. The Word says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. There's people in there hearing every week. But unless you're doing and living it out, you're at a standstill. So it says here, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. There's too many insecure believers. there's too many insecure believers. Well, I don't know if I can have this because I messed up 10 years ago. Away with that. Well, this person, there's something in the community and they don't like me, so I'm not going to be able to do this. Away with that. You know how many times some of the most successful people in the world have been told no? You're going to get told no a lot. But when God tells you yes, it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say because He has secured your lot. I'm going to encourage every believer in here to not be that insecure Christian. What God has ordained for your life, nobody can do anything about it. Nobody can mess that up for you, just yourself. But what God has ordered for your life, what He's chosen to give to you, that's a done deal. And it says, "You have made my lot secure, and the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I'm going to ask you, keep it in between the lines. There's too many Christians and they're edging out and they're edging out into things that we know doggone well, and that's a word up in here in Arkansas, we know doggone well that that ain't what God called us to be a-doing. Amen. Amen? What is edging? Well, best way I can describe it to you is if the line is right here and we know that something's getting to where we really shouldn't be doing it and we walk that line, see, God's not calling you to be on top of that line. He wants you in the boundary lines. He wants you right there. Don't be edging over into things that you know isn't right. Because what is that going to do? It's going to mess your cup up. Going to mess your cup up. Going to mess your life up. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, surely I have a delightful inheritance. What God has for you is delightful. Stop looking at your life like you don't want to live it anymore. God wants you to pick up your cross and follow Him daily. God has good things ahead of you. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Verse 7, this tells us what's going to happen. I will praise the Lord who counsels me, and even at night my heart instructs me. There's many nights when I go to sleep and I don't have the answer for the problem that I'm going to bed with. But many times I will speak this word over my life because it's a promise. How many of you have ever been to counseling? I don't know if that's politically correct, but my hand's up. People are like, oh my gosh, she's done gone to meddling. She wants to know who all of us is getting counseling. Look here, we're going to have to normalize getting help for mental health. I got a couple amens over here. Let me go over here. We're going to have to normalize getting help for mental health. Amen? Amen. And it says, even at night, my heart instructs me. There's been so many mornings when I woke up, I went to bed in turmoil, but when I woke up, my heart and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit had instructed me on just exactly what I needed to do. When you go to sleep and you don't got the answer, pray this verse over your life. I have set the Lord always before me. Whatever you've put before God, it's going, it's going. Whatever that is. Kimber just sang, anything I put before you, God, that's an idol. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life, and you fill me. You fill me with joy in your presence. You fill me with joy in your presence. Now, let's go back to our cup. So many believers, They don't know where their joy has gone. They don't know where everything good in life is gone. And they're glued to their phone. They're glued to the TV. They're glued to their problems. They're glued to all of these things. See, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, it ain't going nowhere. So we got two different kinds of people. What does the word say? It says, you fill me with joy in your presence. This person over here, they have no time for God. They're going to stay empty. This person over here, they get in his presence. What has God promised to do? You fill me with joy in your presence. See, don't get mad at God when you're running on empty. Because unless you get in His presence, that's emptiness is how you're going to be. God requires you to get into His presence. Your pastor encourages you to practice being in His presence. How do we do that? I'm going to just keep this real with you. Tanya, when I really try, I can feel God anywhere because I realize that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Whether I'm on the toilet, whether I'm in my car, whether I'm doing something, Paul, whatever. If I will just take a moment and throw my hands up there and say, God, I love you so much. Lord, you've never let me down. God, I want to thank you for all that you've done. See, glorify God. You'll feel His presence. You'll feel His presence. You need joy in your life? Get in His presence. Make time for Him. He fills you up when you do that. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. We're talking about our cup this morning. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I want to tell each one of you that God has anointed you. Not His angels did it. Not His peon did it. Not His associate. God Himself. God Himself anointed you. God Himself prepared a table for you, not alone, but in the presence of your enemies. Why? Because God wants your enemies to see what He's done in your life. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. So here's this person that has something for God, that makes time for God, that realizes how anointed that they are. And I did this last week. I'm going to do it again because I want you to realize just how anointed that you are. I want you to see that your cup, it's going to overflow. It's not a matter of a feeling because your feelings aren't facts. You can feel like a low-down, dirty dog, but that doesn't mean that you are one. God calls you blessed. He even calls you blessed when you're struggling. Amen. You okay, Billy? I know. Frank's wanting me to not mess the carpet up. All right, sweetie, give me that magic carpet. Get this towel over here for me. Here's the deal. The moment I let myself be constricted, I'm going to walk around with this picture. Y'all need to get the big idea. Ain't nobody gets down on these floors longer and more than I do and scrubs them. That's just the truth. You anoint my head with oil and my cup, it overflows. The moment and the day that you can see your cup in the perspective that it really is, your game's done changed. Your cup, it's going to overflow. Why? Because God said so. Because God said so. Let's get over here. Let's get over here. See, now, if you're more worried about the carpet, you're not going to get this message anyways. My cup, the living God, he said that it's going to overflow. So the cup doesn't have a choice. The cup doesn't have a choice. The circumstance, it don't have a choice. The illness doesn't have a choice. Your pocketbook, it doesn't have a choice. Because see, what God said over your life, God's going to have his way. What he needs is your obedience and say, God, have your way. Lord, you said that my cup overflows. So God, you just fill it up however you see fit. Let me tell you something. People will live off of the overflow that's coming out of your cup. People going to live off of the overflow that's coming out of your life, the anointing that's coming out of your life. God needs you to see your cup differently today. God needs you to take a second look at that cup, and when you feel empty, you just need to drop to your knees and say, God, fill me up, because see, that's a promise. God says you're anointed. He says that your cup's overflowing. God wants to put that up inside of your life today, because there's too many believers just inside of this room that's saying, God, I can't. God don't need that from you. God needs to say, God, I may can't, but God, I know that you can. God, I know that you can. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your word. God, there's evidence that my cup has overflowed. Can you look back at your life and see the overflow of God's goodness time and time again? If you're still breathing, everybody can say yes to that. See, you can look at your past. You need to start looking at your past differently. How many of you got something you're ashamed of that you done did? All right. Change your perspective. When you're looking at the thing that you did that you pray to God nobody finds out about, say, you know what? I'm going to look at this differently. I see the evidence of the cup that even in the hard times, even in my sinning, my cup overflowed. Amen. Why? Because God says that he's never leaving you. He's never forsaking you. God needs you to change your perspective, though. Stop seeing that cup empty. Stop telling him what you don't have. I said, stop telling him what you don't have. Tell him what you do have. All you really need is him. God, if I've got you, I've got it all. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 36 through 46. Matthew chapter 26. We'll get there and then I'll tell you the verses again. I don't know a better example than Jesus himself when it talks about cups. I want to talk to that person right now and you're having a hard time with your cup. The word says that Jesus came down. He dwelt among us. The word became flesh. What does that mean? Jesus came down here and he started in humanity. And the day that he came down here, he could feel every feeling that we would ever feel. Don't tell me that God's a mean God, because you know what? God empathizes with you on an extreme level. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now look here, if Jesus Christ himself needs to pray, don't think that you can live your life without prayer. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Now those two sons, that was James and John, just FYI. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Sorrowful and troubled. Jesus Christ himself felt sorrowed and troubled. Don't tell me that God doesn't get on your level. Don't tell me that Jesus don't care about you. Because he done felt the sorrow. He done felt the trouble. The same hurt and the same feeling that you have, he felt that. And he did something about it. And it says, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. What does this verse tell us? This verse tells us, yeah, you're going to feel sorrow and trouble at times. The verse also says that Jesus himself felt overwhelmed. There's times where your cup, you're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel like it's too much. You're going to feel like you can't. You're going to feel like it's impossible. And it's a good thing that we don't live off of what we feel. Man does not live off of bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get into your Bible, folks, because God has so much that He's said about you. How many of you know that we are a nosy people? Man, the nosiness of people these days just astonishes me. Everybody's like, hey, they won't even tell you hi anymore. They'll say, hey, did you see so-and-so's post on Facebook today? And then when we should stop it right there, we're like, no, what did it say? And then we done got our phone out. We're like, where is what Sally Sue said? Oh, my God. I've got to screenshot that, and I got to send that to Sally Sue's worst enemy because we got to all know this. We've turned into nosy people. Well, I don't know where I was going with that. I'll pick that thought up in a minute. There ain't no telling. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed. Once again, Jesus is praying. You're not going to get out of prayer. Get into your Bible. If the Bible needs to be more interesting to you than anything else. My Father, here was his prayer. My Father, if it is possible, let's get our cup. Everybody get your cup. Because we've all prayed this prayer. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. We've all prayed that prayer. God, just take this battle from me. Lord, just take it away. God, just take it away. I would be a bad pastor if I allowed you to think that God's taking everything away just whenever you pray those prayers. There's some things, Dwayne, when it involves our cup, when it involves our calling, God's saying, I'm not taking that away. That's a part of what you were put here to do. Jesus Christ himself, he knew why he came to dwell among us. And in the very last hour, those last parts of his life, when it came right down to doing the very thing that he was sent here to do, he was so overwhelmed, so heartbroken. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And then he said something very important. And this is important in our life because we all have seasons where this is seeming too much. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He's saying, Lord, I don't want to go through this. God the Father, I don't want to go through this. Please take this from me. But God, if you won't, your will be done. Your will trumps every single thing. God, your will be done. See, he took this cup and he transferred it to the very will of God. God, it doesn't matter what I want. God, I transfer it right now back to you. God, if you're not taking this from me, your will be done. Help me to go through what I've got to go through. See, God has anointed you to go through what you're going through right now. Am I saying that God will never stop something and take you out of something? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am doing is making you aware of what to do in the seasons where God's not going to do that. Not my will, but your will. Verse 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's things that God is saying, this is in your cup. Your spirit is willing. But that flesh, perhaps you don't want to live out what's in that cup for you. You tell your flesh to line up with what your spirit man's saying and to line up with the Word of God. Because, see, at the end of the day, what matters is God's perfect will for your life. God's perfect will. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." The second time, he approached God and he said, "Take this cup." But then a second time, he transferred it back to the will of God. He said, "If you can't take it, I'll drink it." So some of us, we're looking at our cup and we're saying, I don't even want to drink what's up in there. I'm going to tell you something. Drink the cup. Drink the cup. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. The third time he said, "God, take this cup from me." But then the third time he said, "Your will be done. Your will be done." Does it matter to you anymore what God's will is? Can you be uncomfortable for God? Can you suffer for God? Can you sacrifice for God? Is there any part of you, even in today's generation and in today's society where we're saying right's wrong and wrong's right, is there still anything inside of any believer in here today that says, you know what? God's will is important in my life. It's important that I do His will. See, because His will is going to cost you at times. What's it going to cost you? Grief, suffering, sacrifice, being uncomfortable. That doesn't mean there's not good stuff in this cup. And by the way, this cup has your name on it. See, if you go try to drink Sally Sue's cup over here, it's going to be bitter because you ain't living in Sally Sue's shoes. You're you. You need to deal with your cup. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And I'm going to look at this right here. I believe that when people will hang on what the Word of God says and pay attention. How many of you ever, when you were a child, you did one of those little worksheets and they had hidden objects in the picture and you were like, okay, it says that there's 15 fish in here. I'm going to go find those 15 fish. Or where's Waldo or any of that stuff. You get, okay, let's get on that page. The Word of God has some things in here that if you're just reading over it to get your quota for the day, I got to read 10 verses away, it'll keep the devil away. No, it don't. If you're just reading, if you'll read to be understanding, that's a whole new thing. Rise! Exclamation point. Let us go. Another exclamation point. Am I saying that right, Casey? You're the English teacher. Is it exclamation? What does that mean? If one of your students says, what does the exclamation point mean? What would you say? Great emphasis. Excitement. When you make an excited statement, you're going to put an exclamation point right there. We all know what Jesus' cup was. Even when he was overwhelmed, even when he was broken, even when he was sad, discouraged, He said, rise. Rise. Let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Nobody else could live life like Jesus did. Man, I can't even sit and go to Walmart with somebody. If I see their car and I don't like them, I'm like, I am not going. I will get that toilet paper tomorrow. And here's Jesus. I'm going to my betrayer right now. I got a cup. I've got my calling. Even though I'm going to go through it, my cup is still overflowing in the name of Jesus. So I'm not going to ditch or try to backslide. I'm going to what my calling really is. Even though it's going to make me broken at times, let's go. Nobody in this world anymore even wants to be the slightest bit uncomfortable. That's why nobody ever finishes anything. Because many times to finish something, you're going to have some uncomfortable moments. Go with me now to John chapter 18 and verse 11. We're still talking about Jesus. He told his disciples, let's go, get up, let's go. He's been betrayed. They're about to take him. Peter, Simon Peter, who loves Jesus, pulls out his sword, cuts somebody's ear off. See, here's the thing about life. God will give you people that will love you. Many times they're not even your family. Find your circle. Get with those people that are going to love you no matter what. They'll pull out their sword for you and they'll chop somebody's ear off for you. I tell people sometimes, I got to be careful with BB because BB would punch somebody right in the face for me probably. And then we both look bad. Because then I'd probably do it too. Just, I don't think I really would. I mean, if I wasn't in a bad day. If I'm ever in jail, I mean, just come get me. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Why? Because you know what? If you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. And then he said something that's so, so powerful. If you can get a hold of it this morning, it's going to change your life. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Here's the cup of Jesus. We all know how sovereign that he is. His cup overwhelmed him, sorrowed him, broke him. His closest people wanted to save him. Let me tell you something. Even in Jesus' worst moments, his cup, it still overflowed. In your worst moments, your cup is still overflowing. If you're not seeing it overflow, you need to look again. And you need to keep looking till you see that cup and the glory and the anointing and the provision and the favor of God. It is still coming out of the cup. Change your perspective and see that cup until you can see it overflowing. Sometimes you're going to have to speak to your cup. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me? There are things in your life, and you're thinking, well, this certainly couldn't be from God, because God would never allow anything bad to happen to me. Look here, let's not even get up into that. Won't change it. You've still got your cup. Jesus even said, shall I not drink the from the cup that God gave me? What did he do? of the Father. You want me to go to the cross? Okay. I'm going to go all the way there. You want me to die for ungrateful people that are going to be wishy-washy just depending on whether or not they get their way or not? Okay. Okay, God. I want you to think about your cup. I want you to think about your life this morning. Why? Because, see, you all are on assignment. He's given everybody a portion. It's all different. Nobody else can do this right up in here just the way that you can. Your cup, he's given it to you. It don't matter how you feel. It's overflowing. Let's continue on. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4. God is good. God is good. He's taking care of you even in those times where you don't feel it. See, you're not going to always feel it. And you cannot allow yourself to live off of what you feel. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 through 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. God's saying, don't be surprised. When you suffer, when you go through a trial, don't be surprised and think that you're the only one going through it. Here's what I am convinced of. Everybody in the world that is living and breathing right in this moment, or everybody is going through something right now. I've never seen a time where people were just so troubled and so burdened. Why is that? Because, see, the end is near and they come on like a woman with birth pains. They get closer and closer and closer together. Until what happens? They have the baby. Jesus comes back. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Some people don't even know how to take an insult for Jesus. I've been one of those people at times. I'm working that up out of myself. You know how many times I've argued with people in my head on women pastors? Don't ask God to take something from you, because when you do, let me tell you something, He will let it come up till you get it worked out and it is out of you. I said, God, help me to not be so bothered by every time somebody talks about women pastors. Okay, Kelly. I'm going to send you a whole bunch of critics. We're going to get this worked out. What was the problem? I couldn't even take an insult. Why? Because it messed with my pride. Well, they don't know how much this woman pastor does. Blah, 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 blah. Self-righteous. Well, no, they don't care. Amen. God just says, Kelly, drink your cup. Okay? You're going to have people. You in the South, in the Bible Belt, you're going to have people not believe in you a lot. Doesn't change the favor that I've put on your life. Who else in town has a building that the government paid for and it's in the clear? Nobody. Nobody. But this woman pastor. Who feeds Logan County? God. Who did He use? The woman. I said, Kelly, you get over that insult. Get over it. And the moment that you get over it, you're going to be on your way. But until you do, I'm going to keep on sending people that are going to say that to you. Because we're going to work this up out of you. Can you be insulted for him? Can you suffer for him? Can you be uncomfortable? If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. See, judgment's not even beginning with sinners right now. It's beginning with the family of God. It's beginning with the believer. That's why we need to take a look at our life. We need to take a look at our cup, because the Word says, if you'll judge yourself, I won't have to judge you. If you'll take a look at your life and make some changes, I won't have to come in and correct you. Stop looking at your cup and feeling sorry for yourself. Say, God, thank you that I even have a cup. In a society where everybody is wishy-washy, and one minute we want to just give up, and then the next minute we want to start a big old mountain climbing. Be happy you got a cup. There's people that they would come back from the grave and tell you to live your life out and be thankful for your cup. To see it as overflowing. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will, according to God's will. What did Jesus say on the cross? What did he say right before he was taken? Lord, take this cup from me. But if you can't, if you won't, your will be done. Your will be done. Let's read this verse when it talks about God's will. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. When it comes to your cup, stand on Psalms chapter 23. When it says, you've anointed my head and my cup overflows. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. My cup is overflowing. Just as the Word said, because I have committed myself. There's a commitment here. I will not quit. Why? Because I've made a commitment. Not to anything, not to anybody, but to the living God. And because I've made the commitment, not because of how smart we are, not because of how snazzy that we are, not because of the degrees that we have, but angel, because we've made the commitment to God, our cup overflows because we've committed ourselves to the Creator. We've committed. We've said, I'm going to follow no matter what. I want you to take these cups home today. Put them somewhere where you're going to see them. I believe that there's people watching this. You're having a hard time. Don't get mad at God. God is seeing you through. Don't stop praying those prayers. God, take the cup away. God, help me to go through this battle. Because, Lord, I know that on the other side of it, I'm better after it. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. If you're having a hard time right now, if there's some things that, you know, people may not even know about you and you're struggling, I'm just going to ask you to search your heart for a moment. Search it with God. He's walking down every single aisle. He's meeting you where you're at. And begin to talk to him about your cup. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you right now to give these people, give your children right now everything that they need concerning their cup. God, I thank you right now that we are committed to you. Lord, in the places where we lack, God, I ask that you'd make up the difference. Lord, help us to live this sermon out in Jesus' name. There is food that is going to be given out. If you'll go through this door right here, give us 5 minutes. We love you. We hope that you are in service with us this morning at 5:30, or this evening at 5:30.